John chapter 11 tonight. We're going to continue our series with the seven I Ams of Christ, and we'll introduce this next one tonight. This is the fifth I Am in the book of John, and we'll introduce it tonight, and then we'll take some time in prayer to take our requests before the Lord in our prayer groups. Let's turn to John chapter 11. The more I studied this passage, the more I realized that this is probably going to take more than one sermon, probably two or three maybe, but there's a lot of information in here, a lot of good things to point out about why Christ made this statement and all the things involving this. Of course, John chapter 11, we obviously know, is the incident where Lazarus was raised from the dead. And Christ went down to Bethany and said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came out of the tomb after 4 days. But let's begin reading in verse number 20. And we'll read just a few verses, and then we'll begin. Verse number 20 of John chapter 11. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this powerful chapter from your word. Pray, Lord, that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be opened, Lord, our hearts would be opened to understand what you have done for us and the wonderful benefits that we receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, that the message tonight would be clear and plain, and that we would learn and take truth to apply to our lives tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as we come to this fifth I Am in the Gospel of John, we're in a familiar chapter of this Gospel. We're getting kind of near the end of Christ's ministry at this point. There's about maybe 3 to 3.5 months left. And as I began to study this chapter and just kind of read through it a few times, and I was drawn to some of the different personalities that were in this chapter. And as we discuss one of the seven I Ams here, that I am the resurrection and the life, I want to take it from the standpoint, from the viewpoint of some of the personalities that are in this book. And to kind of see the different groups here, if you just notice quickly, first, in the beginning of this chapter, there are the disciples. And they're the first group. They begin to question Christ of, why are you going to go back into the enemy territory? That's in verse 8. We're going to look at that a little bit later tonight. And they have a lesson that they need to learn. They have their own perspective and a viewpoint on this thing, and Christ is going to kind of correct their viewpoint. There's also the family that's involved here. There's Mary. Her viewpoint about the situation. There's Martha and her understanding of it. Then, of course, there's Lazarus, who is now dead. He was sick. He died. And Christ had a very special relationship with his family throughout his ministry. Oftentimes, he would stop in Bethany at the house here and would visit with them. There are also, then, near the end of the chapter, another group that I want to look at. And it is the Jews. The Jews that were there. Maybe there were some Pharisees there. There were some Jews that were mourning with the family. And they had their also had their own perspective on what was going on. And tonight I want to draw a few things out about the first group here, the disciples. As I began to look at these different personalities, and as I read the chapter, one theme kind of seemed to keep coming out at me. And it's not really a happy theme, it's the theme of death. How these different people responded to the idea and the thought of dying. The thought of death that they are going to be confronted with here was with Lazarus. This theme seemed to come out to me in different ways as I looked at these different groups. And there's an overriding feeling of the emotion of death, or all of the emotions that are involved with it. Kind of a leery or doomy, whatever you want to adjective you want to put in there. You sense it when you read the dialogue with the disciples. You sense it when Christ speaks with Martha. It's this attitude of sadness that kind of overshadows the lessons of this chapter. The story here in chapter 11 encompasses the confrontation of humanity with death. what is the feeling of death, or what is the viewpoint of death that these different groups are going to take? As humans, as the natural feelings they're going to be feeling when they're confronted with the idea and the thought of Lazarus dying, then with the reality of Lazarus dying, different things begin to come out. Now, death obviously is something that the human race doesn't like to think about. We don't like to talk about it much. We don't like to confront ourselves with the fact that, hey, we are a dying people. We are decaying in our bodies. We are going to reach death at one point. It may be of old age. It may be suddenly the Lord may take us or cause us to get in a car wreck. Whatever it may be, we can die at any moment. We don't really know, or we're not in charge of when we are going to be confronted with death. And I was reading a few statistics online. One man did a study back in 2005 and said that 15% of Americans, they spend 15% of their income on this idea because they're afraid of death. They'll spend 15% of their income on medicines or all these other things because we don't want to have to confront ourselves with death. And I know I believe in staying healthy and there's medicines and things that we need. But if you talk about the populace in general, they do not want to be confronted with death. And I want to do everything I can to have to put it off. Everything to kind of, I want to think about it later. You know, I was thinking about it this week as I was just driving in my truck. What is my feeling toward death? Am I afraid to die? You ever stopped and asked yourself that question? Am I scared of the day that's going to come and I have this big fear in my mind and doubts in my mind about death? In general, humanity is kind of insecure about it because people that don't know the Savior don't have a security. They don't know what goes on beyond death and things that are uncertain or we don't know much about and we can't learn and put our hands on it and know for sure what's going on. Mankind tends to be a little fearful and have some doubts in his mind about it. But what we're going to find in this study here is that in Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all the thoughts, the feelings, the attitudes, any questions that may be had in the human mind concerning death, any thought or question, whatever it may be, can be answered and met in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the simple statement that he says, I am the resurrection and the life. All those thoughts can be quelled with belief in that statement. Tonight I want to look at the first group that we come to in chapter 11. And let's begin reading just in verse 1. And we're going to learn about what the attitude of the disciples was toward death. And hopefully Christ is going to use this incident with Lazarus and this statement that I am the resurrection and the life to show these people that are present, the disciples, Mary, Martha, the Jews, to show them a lesson about himself and what his conquering has been of death. But let's begin reading in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, if we continue reading, we'll stop right there for a moment. But if we continue reading down into verses number 7, where Christ said, let's go back to Judea. Verse 8, the disciples said, oh, the Jews are trying to stone you. And then Christ having to say the things that he said in verse 4, that the sickness is not unto death. The disciples had a certain attitude about dying, about death. And as we read and continue on tonight, we're going to see that attitude, that prevalent thought they had, is an attitude of fear and even maybe an attitude of doubt when they confronted this thought of death. Now, let's lay some groundwork for this section of the fear and doubt of the disciples. And let's begin in verses 1 and 2. As I said, it may seem just like basic information that's been given by John, just kind of setting the scene or whatever it may be. But there is these verses are given for a specific reason. First, I want you to notice that it says, there was a certain man who was sick named Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was sick. In the Greek, this is a specific word. It is the word asthenon, which means he is without strength. He is without strength. In other words, Lazarus was at the point of sickness that he was losing his strength. And the implication here in the Greek is that he is losing his strength down toward death. In other words, he's probably dying at this point. Some have speculated that Lazarus was already dead by the time the messenger arrived. We don't know for sure, but we'll deal with that in a few minutes. Secondly, notice the location of the family is given in the town of Mary and Martha, which is Bethany. Now, this town has a lot of memories for Christ, as I said, but apparently there were some threats to stone Christ in that region. There were some threats that, of great hatred and hostility toward Christ, and Christ would obviously have to return to that region if he was going to help Lazarus. So Christ obviously could have healed Lazarus from a distance, couldn't he not? Think back to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Christ healed the nobleman's son just by simply stating the word. He didn't have to journey back to the nobleman's house or his tent or whatever it may be and heal that boy, that servant, or whatever it was. He didn't have to take that journey back. He simply spoke, and the son of the nobleman was healed from afar. Now, obviously, in Christ, instead of just speaking and healing Lazarus, it was very clear here that he wanted to eventually get to Bethany. From the very outset of this story, Christ has a plan and a purpose for what he is going to do. He is going to give a specific lesson. He's not just going to simply say, hey, go ahead and be healed and Lazarus be healed and everything goes back to normal. The disciples would probably not have learned much from something like that. They had already seen Christ heal many people. So Christ had special and specific plans in this situation with Lazarus. Now, with this backdrop and the setting here that Lazarus is sick, his strength is failing, he's on the point of dying, let's notice some of the fear and doubt that is associated with the disciples in this story. Now, I want to notice tonight, as we cover this section, the three areas of fear that the disciples had. Three areas of fear that they had with regard to Lazarus here. First of all, in verse number 3, there is just the basic fear of dying. Just the very thought of someone dying brought a fear or a quandary, questions to the disciples' minds. Look in verse 3. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. The problem of the family with Lazarus obviously is that Lazarus is sick. So the family obviously is going to be fearful that since he is sick, since he is waning in strength, he is going to die. They're afraid. They don't want it to happen. So they send to Christ and say, Christ, we're telling you that Lazarus is dying, hoping, please, Lord, do something. We know you have the power to do it. We've seen you heal people. We know you can come over here to Bethany, or you can just speak the word and heal Lazarus of this problem. So the family here is calling on the Lord for help as the fearful prospect of death looms before them on the horizon. Now, obviously, Mary and Martha were very confident that if Jesus was involved in some way, that their fears could be dispelled. The fear that they had of death could be taken away if the Lord would just get involved, if he would speak the word, or if he would just come, this problem would be taken away. So the fear that Lazarus would die was a very troubling thing to Mary, to Martha, even to the disciples who heard this news. In verse number 12, think about how the disciples are reasoning here. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. They were hoping, he's going to recover. He's going to be okay. They did not want to be confronted or think about this matter of death and dying. They did not want to have to be confronted with it. Now, notice Christ's response in verse number 4. He says that the sickness is not unto death. Now, that statement that Christ made there probably began to calm the minds of the disciples, began to maybe even calm the mind of the messenger, but they believed that Christ was referring to the physical condition. This sickness that he has is not unto death, and the disciples probably like, okay, all right, we got that one out. We don't have to think about death anymore because obviously the Lord said this and Lazarus is not going to die. So they believed Lazarus would be healed, the sickness would not kill him, but Christ was trying to get the disciples and those who heard him to see a bigger picture, that even though Lazarus is sick and in Christ's mind knew that Lazarus is dead or will die, that it was not going to be an eternal death. The Lord is trying to get the disciples to see beyond the physical death, which is so fearful, which puts fear in people's minds, to see beyond to the eternal realm where that fear can be eliminated and dispelled. Focusing on the eternal aspect of when you die, you enter eternity. And if it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fears of physical dying should be dispelled quickly. So the bigger picture that Christ wanted them to see here, it was an opportunity, as it says in verse 4, for Christ to bring glory to God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The disciples didn't want to think about physical death. They didn't want to think about the sorrows that it was associated with. So they believed, everything's going to be okay. We don't have to worry about it anymore, without realizing the deeper meaning that Christ had in mind. Now, there's a lot of kind of debates here in the theology realms and in different commentators about when exactly Lazarus died. We don't know. But a lot of people, the majority of them, tend to believe that Lazarus probably died when the messenger came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you take the simple chronology of events here, let's think about it. Lazarus became sick. The messenger was sent. It took about one day to get to Christ. So that's one day to travel. Christ waited in verse number 6. He abode 2 days in the same place where he was. So now we're at a total of 3 days. Then when Christ came back to Bethany, it took a day to travel. That's 4 days. And how long had Lazarus been in the tomb? 4 days. So, you know, we don't know for sure, but it could very well be that Lazarus died as the messenger was en route or when the messenger got there. So if that was the case, then Christ already knew that Lazarus was dead. He already knew that in his mind. So Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days when Christ arrived, so he must have probably died this day. So it was the custom of the Jews to bury on the day of the death. So Lazarus being in the tomb for 4 days, dying on that one day, the chronology that we've just discussed here, the messenger traveling, Christ traveling, and the 2 days of waiting would cover that four-day period. So Christ already knew that Lazarus was dead, assuming that that was the case. And when he made this statement about not being sick unto death in verse number 4, he already knew Lazarus was dead. So he therefore had to be referring to the resurrection of the body when he said, "This sickness is not unto death." He did not want the disciples to be afraid of sickness or death, because through Christ, those things can be conquered. Even if physical death is experienced, the Lord Jesus Christ can conquer those things. So the disciples here are fearful. They're fearful in this situation of just the thought of dying. They didn't want Lazarus to die. They didn't want to go through the pain and the sorrow that is associated with losing somebody you know and somebody that is close to you. So they were fearful of just dying in general, of Lazarus. They didn't want to be confronted with it in somebody else or associated with it. Number two, they were fearful not just of somebody dying. They were fearful in verse number 8. His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" What were the disciples afraid of? They were fearful of stoning. They were fearful of this situation coming where they were going to be confronted with a persecution maybe, or confronted with a tough situation or a hostile environment. Obviously, stoning could lead them to death. So Christ waited here the 2 days. Then he told the disciples, "Hey, we're going to return to Judea, specifically to Bethany." And the disciples, their immediate reaction was what? Fear. Their immediate reaction was fear. Oh, there's been threats and in hostile environments there, Lord, and if you pass through there, they're going to stone you. They're going to catch you. They're going to try to put you to death. And, oh, you just can't do that. They're fearful of those types of situations. The phrase here in verse number 8, near the end of the verse, that says, "And goest thou thither again?" That little phrase, "goest thou thither," is one word in the Greek. It is hupago, which literally means, "You're going to withdraw, Lord?" Now, if you, in the sense of the Greek, withdrawing, it's like withdrawing from a place of security, withdrawing from a place of safety, withdrawing from where everything is okay right here, Lord. Nobody's making threats against us here, and you're going to withdraw from this environment of safety and put you, and not to mention us, you know, that's probably what they were thinking about themselves, through the possible scenario of being stoned or of being put to death. They were asking why Christ would withdraw from a safe haven to put himself on purpose in a hostile and danger environment. Now, Christ continues to explain his reasoning. And then in verse 11, the reason why he wants to return. Verse 11, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep." Now, Christ is explaining that Lazarus is sleeping, and I'm going to go awaken him out of that sleep. Obviously, with the whole story in mind, we know that Christ was referring to Lazarus being dead. He's sleeping. Now, if you think about the word sleep, it's used throughout the Scriptures. We could look at a lot of verses tonight about how the word sleep is used in the Scriptures for dying or for physical death. Even in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 says, "When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." In the New Testament, an example is 1 Corinthians 5:20 that says, "Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep." So Christ, when he talks about Lazarus sleeping, was referring not to the sleep of the soul lives on forever, but to the sleep of the physical body as it awaits the final resurrection for the judgments and things that we learn about in Scripture. So the disciples misunderstood the meaning that Christ was using. They thought he was talking to, hey, Lazarus is sleeping. He's resting. Okay, we feel better now. We don't have to think about that death stuff anymore or that dying. Oh, Lazarus is resting. And in their minds, this was a wonderful thing. This was great because this natural sleep would help to heal Lazarus from the sickness he was suffering. And they began to kind of reason out the situation. Since Christ did not rush to see Lazarus when he was on his deathbed, but was going to now go when he was asleep, then obviously Christ must know that Lazarus is getting better, or he's improving his physical condition. So why would he now be eager to go to Judea when Lazarus was probably improving and the Jews were waiting to stone him? So here the disciples are trying to use every argument they can to convince Christ to stay and not withdraw from the safety. Why? Because they're fearful. They're fearful of death. They're fearful of being confronted with the thoughts that are associated and the emotions that are associated with death. So they were fearful of what the Jews would do. So they were going to use logic or reasoning to convince the Lord to not go to this dangerous territory and put themselves in danger. They were afraid of being maybe caught with the Lord as a group and the whole group being stoned or whatever it may be. So the disciples are afraid of death. They're fearful of that. Secondly, they're fearful of just going with Christ and facing this persecution or hostility that may come. But then thirdly, the disciples were afraid not just of someone else dying and having to be around that situation of grief when people are sad and somebody close to you dies that you knew and you have to go through that mourning and that difficult time as a person. But they were also, thirdly, afraid of death itself, of the possibility of death coming to them, having to be confronted with the thoughts of you know, I'm going to die or I might die. Let's look at how the story unfolds again in verse number 14. Christ, obviously because the disciples didn't get the point, they didn't understand that Christ was talking about the sleep of the body in death, he had to say plainly to them. In verse number 14, the word plainly there, by the way, is a word in the Greek that means without parable, without metaphor. In other words, he just, the blunt truth, you know, I'm not going to soften it and make it easy for you or give it to you in a parable. I'm going to just plainly state this is what the reality is. Lazarus is dead. So he had to come out and say that Lazarus was dead. And then he makes a unique statement in verse number 15. I am glad. Whoa, you're glad that Lazarus is dead? But let's finish the verse. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, because Lazarus would have been healed. To the intent ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Christ was glad not because of the loss of Lazarus's life, but because now he has an opportunity to strengthen the faith of the disciples. Now, if Christ had rushed over to Bethany and healed Lazarus, or maybe even just spoken the word and immediately healed Lazarus from the bed of sickness, the disciples, it would have just been what? Another healing to them. This is near the end of Christ's ministry. They'd seen plenty of healings. They'd seen the Lord cast out demons, all kinds of miracles they had already seen. And this would have just been another miracle to them. But Christ knew that they had a problem and a struggle with this idea of death. So in verse 15, he was glad for their sakes that Lazarus died, so that now the Lord could show that he has the remedy for death. He has the answers to the problems and the confusion and the fears about death. And he is going to raise someone from the dead after being in the tomb for 4 days to open the eyes of the disciples to the fact that I am the resurrection and the life. Now, notice the unique phrase. I thought this kind of interesting in verse 15, that Christ said at the end of the verse, let us go unto him. Almost as if Lazarus is alive. Now, even though Christ knows that he's dead, he's still going to go to him as if he isn't dead. And this illustrates something unique, the relationship that Christ has with his people. It's a relationship not based on our bodies, not based on the physical. It's a relationship based on our souls. Our souls that have been redeemed and purchased, and our souls that have this wonderful fellowship with the Lord by the renewing of the Spirit, that the Spirit has redeemed us and changed our bodies. So this illustrates the relationship that Christ has with his own. It's beyond the physical. It's in the spiritual realm. And for example, Romans 8 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even physical death. So Christ is, let's go unto him. Christ has the same relationship with Lazarus that he did when Lazarus was alive, because it's not based on the physical. Christ does not base the relationship with us on the physical. It is based on the spiritual. It's based on that realm of the soul. So I thought that was a unique thing that Christ says, let's just go to Him. I'm acting like nothing is happening here. We have the same relationship. But then notice the disciples here in verse number 16, especially one, Thomas. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus. Remember, the disciples are going to be afraid of confronting with their own death. Fearful of dying, they're fearful of going through persecution and stoning and hostility or whatever it may be. But also here in verse number 16, now they're going to be confronted with the thought that I'm going to die. Look in verse 16. Thomas, which is called Didymus, said unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Well, he's going to go, let's just go with him and we're going to die too. You know, wonderful outlook, great optimist here. But they were afraid of death. They were afraid of dying. And Thomas was just like, well, we might as well just go with him and die with him. He had doubt and fear and did not believe that Jesus could save them from death. They hadn't come to the point yet that this is literally the Son of God that can conquer all things. He even has power over death. Well, let's just go die with him. They didn't understand and put the two things together that I'm going to go with the Son of God. And He has power over death. He conquered death. And even if I die physically, I still continue to live and reign with Him. They hadn't come to that point as disciples. So remember, we're talking about those who are fearful and have doubt when it comes to death. You know, as we said earlier, many people live in fear of death that is generated by insecurity about the unknown or what's beyond the grave. And those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ have a lot of fear. They don't know for sure what will happen after death. And Christ needed to teach a lesson to these disciples. Those who fear and doubt death. If you're in this room tonight and you fear death or you're afraid of it, you don't want to think about it. Young person, I know it's the last thing on your mind. You know, I'm kind of young too, I guess. I'm 30. Kind of young. Sometimes I say, you know, I don't think about death enough. What do we try to do naturally? We try to brush it to the back of our mind. We don't want to think about it. We want to think about, what am I going to do now? Instead of thinking about the future, that I am going to die one day. Am I going to be ready? Young people, if you fear death or if you have this afraid of it or doubt about what's going to happen, you need to understand the statement of verse 25 that Christ is the resurrection and the life. He has conquered. And though we are dead, our body could be dead laying out. We will continue to live because the Lord works on a spiritual realm. His relationship with Lazarus was on a spiritual realm. The physical may die and decay, but the Lord works on the spiritual. Christ was going to illustrate this powerful truth to the disciples who so desperately needed to see it, even to us who need to see it, that after 4 days from the tomb, He still has power over death. So through Christ, the body is going to sleep. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute just as we bring things to a close here. Why use the terminology of sleep when it comes to a believer? The body is sleeping, or those that slept, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why use that terminology? When you're asleep, I want you to think about it. What? If you compare sleep with a believer to death as a believer, then death is harmless. For the most part, I guess sleep is harmless unless you have a nightmare and start, you know, kicking your wife or something and, you know, you hurt her in your sleep or whatever. I guess it could harm you a little bit, but for the most part, sleep is harmless. And so with a believer, death is also what? Harmless. It can't hurt you. Sleep is a relief from the toils of the day. And that's what death for a believer is. It's like entering into a rest with the Lord. Sleep is lying down to rise again, hopefully. Some of us, you know, maybe 16 or 20 hours before we rise again, or, you know, we have a little extra time to sleep. I know summer's coming, so the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock sleep-in time for the teenagers is fixing to roll around. I know how that is. You know, but what are you doing when you lie down and sleep? You do it to what? To rise again. To go take care of the duties and responsibilities. Well, you're going to lie down in death physically, but you're going to rise again in the resurrection. The Lord, when He calls His own unto Himself. Then sleep shuts out the sorrows of life, and that's what death for a believer does. This life, when all its sorrows, its hardships, its toils, it's done. Another thing is that when you're asleep, you can be awakened quickly. Well, most of us can be awakened quickly. Typically, you can wake up pretty quick. You know, I mean, most of us aren't morning people. But we have to learn to be sometimes. But that's the same kind of idea here. When the Lord calls His own, when He resurrects in the rapture and things, it's going to be a quick thing. So that's why another reason to compare the death of a Christian with sleep. And then finally, sleep of your body fits you for the duties you have to do. And that's what the Lord is going to do. As believers, He's going to fit us with a new body, a resurrected body to be with Him for all of eternity, to fit us to serve Him for all of eternity and glorify His name. This is the blessing of sleep through the confidence of the Savior. You don't have to be afraid to die or to go through this sleep if you know the One who's the resurrection and the life. What a lesson that not just the disciples need, but we all need. The Savior has the power and the victory over death. And because of that, we don't have to have this attitude of the disciples of fearing death, of being afraid of physical death that could come to us, but to know it's a period where we can continue on in our souls with the Lord to enter His presence. And we don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen to our bodies, to die. And am I too attached to this world to be afraid to leave it? That, well, I haven't experienced these things yet, and I don't want to die yet. I want to continue living here and, you know, all the things that, and the fun things I like to do and the people I know, and I don't want to leave all that behind. I know that's maybe a natural, you know, tendency in our minds and our hearts, but to leave that because we are going to continue on with the Lord, to not be afraid of death, to not be scared of it, not want to talk about it in things, but know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that we have to fear in death. So the first attitude toward death that we see in John 11 is the attitude of fear, the attitude of doubt, even insecurity about death. Now, next time we come together, we're going to continue this chapter, and we're going to see that Martha had an attitude about death. We're going to see that Mary had a specific attitude about death. We're going to see that Jesus Christ had one about death. And then we'll see that the Jews at the end of the chapter also had a specific attitude about death. And we look forward to continuing this study.